all the information for the entire Northern Nevada area.
They are bringing more illegals every day.
On one radio station.
At this point, I just kind of assume every politician is dirty.
Welcome to FM News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM. News, talk, truth.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the National Sarcastic Society. Their slogan, huh, like we need your support. When's the next meeting? 10:06. I'm John Potter. Phone number. I got to bring this up. Has anybody within the listening area been a victim of crime in Northern Nevada? 884-9910. Like to hear your experience. And I bring this up because Washoe County violent crime from 2021 to 2022 is up 3.8% with over 2,500 cases and alarming 1,419 violent crimes in Reno last year alone. It's hard to find anything current. Reno does not have an open data portal like Las Vegas does. They don't update weekly or monthly that I can see on the RPD website. But it would be good to know how things are going now, because summer is the busy season for crime overall. But we know Washoe County violent crime is up 21 to 22. And according to SouthwestJournal.com, quote, Reno's crime figures don't just tower over Las Vegas, they also eclipse the national average, boasting a violent crime rate of 5.66. I guess that's per 100. Reno overshadows Las Vegas and markedly exceeds the national figures. It's for these reasons that Reno, despite being challenged by larger cities, takes an unfortunate lead in this less than enviable list. Even if it didn't go up, even if it stayed the same, the level of violence in the city of Reno, in my mind, is currently unacceptable, and it continues to spill blood and break hearts. Much of the problem in that and in the rise of shoplifting is a consequence of the laws that come out of Carson City, like raising the threshold of stolen goods to be considered a felony. Thank you, Steve Sisolak. Kids shoplifting and stealing cars now, if you're old enough to do the crime, you're old enough to do the time. There were negative consequences when our parents disciplined us. They did it because they loved us and because they knew that it would put us back on the right track. It was one tool for teaching us. And when you take away discipline after breaking the law, you're taken away from young people who are either making a mistake or doing something stupid and getting off at the wrong track. You're taking away their chance to learn a lesson that could save their lives. The simple lesson: you do wrong things and bad things happen. We need to go back to basics. Our high crime is also the consequence of a lack of patrols. Compared to cities similar in population, Reno has fewer officers per capita. Back in 2008, we had about 17 officers per 10,000 residents. Now it's 12.5 from 17. That's 25% fewer officers now. 12.5 per 10,000. Salt Lake City has 25. Yet the city says the Reno Police Department is at full staff. Then 3 months ago, Nevada U.S. Senator Jackie Rosen helped introduce a bill to support efforts to hire and retain police officers. Wow. This is the second thing I have to compliment Jackie Rosen for. My gosh. It's like the Twilight Zone here. I never thought I'd see the day when I have to compliment Jackie Rosen again, like I did 2 weeks ago. Her Recruit and Retain Act sets up a federal program to help facilitate recruitment and encourages more people to become police officers. It's kind of vague, actually, how they're going to do this. But here's what she said in April. She said law enforcement agencies in Nevada are facing dire shortages of police officers at a time when communities are experiencing a rise in crime. Our police departments deserve to have all the resources they need to do their jobs effectively and keep our community safe. Wow. This is a Democrat U.S. Senator saying this, folks. Let me say to you, if you're a young man or a young woman, you ought to give some serious thought to a possible career in law enforcement. One, it pays very well. In 2008, the average pay per Reno Police Department employee was $77,395. And last year, that jumped to $98,000. Two, it offers fulfillment. It offers a professional challenge. It offers a chance of camaraderie with people of like mind. It gives you great opportunities for true service and personal growth. And these are all wonderful things. Now you say, oh my gosh, who would want to be a cop today? Fair question, because the news media today, they never miss a chance to get video of every mistake an officer makes, and they run it for days. If something bad happens to a crook who doesn't pull over for you in your patrol car and something bad happens to him, you're going to be partly to blame, right? If you're chasing a perp for 30 miles and you finally detain this person and a dog gets in the way, you're going to be portrayed as the villain, right? But a lot of people still would like to be in law enforcement. A lot of smart people would. And I recognize that conditions today are challenging, but a police career is 20 years or more. And I've lived long enough to know that social attitudes change. They swing back and forth. And while today may not be that much fun to be a cop, I think that is not unreasonable to expect that they may be better a couple of years now when you're at year one or two into your career. I've spent most of my life with friends who would give the eye teeth to be able to get a cop job. I've known so many people with criminal justice bachelor's degrees and folks who are military veterans, folks who work to stay in good physical condition, who, when there are a whole army of people trying to get on, simply could not get hired, and they had to move on to other states or had to have their dream crushed. It's not that way right now. If you're a person who will make an effort, and if you're a pretty decent individual, if you give it the old college try, I think you could get in somewhere. Maybe not Reno, because they say they're at full staff, but retirements happen. And yes, there are officers who do leave the force disillusioned over how they're portrayed by the media and treated by some of the public. But if you're earnest in your efforts, I think you're going to be very successful. So seriously, if you just graduated, law enforcement can be a wonderful, wonderful career. And in my whole life, there's never been a better time to try to become a police officer than right now. $98,000 a year. And by the way, we need you, right? Where are the patrols lately? We need more officers. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. That's Book of Joshua, first chapter, ninth verse. And it's not just for police officers. It's for all of us facing the challenges that we do. That bit of true counsel is as good and as true now as it was then. I'm John Potter, phone number 884-9910. We're going to be talking about the changes in reverse mortgages. Now, you think you know about reverse mortgages, yet probably, likely, have not heard about the increased benefits and how it will benefit you a lot more than you thought. That's our topic next. And, of course, phone lines open for that, too, 884-9910. That's after the break, because Patty Wood is back. This is 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk time is 10:15.
Live, local FM Talk. KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley. 92.3 FM Talk.
Anybody else have anything they want to share today?
This is where to say it. Call now at 884-9910.
How's it going, Patty Wood?
Really good.
Yeah. What, did you have a good week?
I did. I had a really good week.
Yeah, what was good about it?
Well, I got to speak with some new clients this week that I get really excited when I can help people with the reverse mortgage. And there was a couple people this week that didn't even realize that you could purchase a home with a reverse mortgage. So that really makes my week when I can educate people. Oh, yes. Yes.
Didn't used to be that way, did it?
No, it didn't used to be that way. But here in Nevada, it's been here since about 2009, I believe, is when we started doing reverse purchases. So you can, you put some equity in the home and the lender puts some equity in the home, and then you purchase a home and you don't have a monthly mortgage payment. Still responsible for your taxes and insurance and any HOAs, but you do not have to make a monthly mortgage payment, which takes a lot of stress out of a lot of people that are in the age group 62 and older.
What's the catch?
There is no catch. There really is no catch. A lot
you
of people
buy a home and then you get payments.
No, you don't get payments. You buy a home, and then the lender puts in, but you don't have a monthly mortgage payment.
Oh, I see.
When you do a regular reverse mortgage, you have to have enough equity in your home. Let's say you have a lot of equity in your home, so you get a choice if you want a line of credit, if you want to have monthly income payments coming to you, or if you want to get one lump sum. Let's say you have your eye on a really nice truck or RV or airplane. You take some of your equity out of your house and you go use it on whatever you would like to buy.
Why aren't more people jumping into this?
Well,
They think about the reverse mortgages of old.
Exactly. That's exactly the fear. There are so many. The reverse mortgage used to have a bad rap. And things have changed a lot over the years. I've been doing this now for over 15 years. I've seen a lot of changes. But it used to be, you know, back in the 60s when they first did this, that the bank would take you over your house. You could live in your house, but the bank would own your house. It's not that way anymore. You are the only ones on title. If you have your property in a trust and you'd like to keep it in a trust, you keep it in the trust. So you still have control over the equity in your home. At the end of the day, when you pass away, the bank wants their money. They don't want your house. They don't want anything else in your estate. All they want is their money back. The good thing about this reverse mortgage loan also is that anything under $1,080,300 is the limit on it. But anything under that, anything over that is considered a jumbo. Anything under that is insured. It's got FHA insurance on it. So if you are ever upside down, if you outlive the loan, which in this day and age, it's highly unlikely because they don't let you take out as much as they used to. They only let you take out a certain portion based on your age, how much equity you have in the property, what the interest rate is. Of course, if you wanted to get it at 62, you got to have more equity in the property because your life expectancy is longer. But if you want to get it at 72 or 82, you can get more money out because your life expectancy is shorter.
You're a reverse mortgage specialist. How many different companies do you deal with that offer these reverse mortgage deals?
You know, there's not a lot. There's not a lot of companies that do reverse mortgages.
Do they compete with each other and offer perks over each other?
No, not really, because this is an FHA insured loan, and most of us we have a certain industry rate insurance. I mean, interest rates that we're able to charge. I will say there's a lot of lenders that don't do this that call me. If they have a client that calls them, they call me. A lot of the credit unions, they don't do them. Wells Fargo used to do them. They don't do them anymore. Bank of America doesn't do them anymore. There's a lot of different lenders that don't do them. There's even a few that have done them called me.
And why would they not do them anymore?
Well, you know, it is a very unique loan. And it's something that, for me, I'm very passionate about, and I'm not quite sure. I think it's because a lot of them, especially the big banks, they're tying up this money, and they don't have, you know, people are living longer these days. And so they're not getting their return back for a longer period of time.
I know people who get these, the payment type of reverse mortgage. And these payments are a godsend.
Absolutely. It's, you know, it's helped so many of my clients that maybe have lost a spouse. Mm-hmm. And so they were used to two incomes, you know, two Social Securities. Now you're down to one. And chances are that it drops significantly. And so if you have all this equity in your house, why not use that equity? I mean, I've had people tell me, oh, my goodness, I'm so happy I can go get my hair done now. I can get all the medications that I need to get. So there's some people that it helps out tremendously because they really need it. And then there's some people that decide, you know what, I have all this equity in my house. I'm going to put it in a line of credit. Because when you have a line of credit, you also get a growth rate on that line of credit. Meaning, if today's interest rate is at 6.5%, they give you 0.5% over what the interest rate is. So 7% growth rate on whatever you have in your line of credit is a significant amount over the next, let's say you start this when you're 65 and you don't want to touch it till you're 75, your 150 is going to probably grow to 250,000 over a 10-year period.
You know, it's a sad but shocking fact that especially childless couples cannot take the home to heaven.
No.
Or hell.
That wouldn't be good. But, no, they're not going to dig a hole big enough for you to take your house.
So it's a reality that you have to really get into your brain to realize that as long as you have this house and somebody's willing to benefit you while you're in the house and so you can afford some other nice things, there you go.
That's exactly. And not only, you know, some people don't even think about it, but you can help your children. You can help your grandchildren. You can do endless amounts of things if you have all this equity in the house. Yay, I paid off my house. Okay, great. So you don't have a mortgage payment. Okay, that's wonderful. But now you have a house that's worth $450,000, $500,000. And yes, it's gaining more equity. But why not take out some of that equity? And if you have children and grandchildren, why not go take them on a vacation to France?
You got it.
To Hawaii, to Tahiti. Take some of that money and enjoy your money that you've worked so hard for and enjoy it with your family members. Then you know what some of the money's being spent on. I mean, when you're dead and gone, you're not going to know you're not going to know what they're spending your money on.
You are so passionate about this.
I really am. I you know, it's like I said, I've been doing this for almost 16 years now, and I've just seen so many lives change.
Is Nevada a reverse mortgage friendly state?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're very, and especially in this area, you know, we've get a lot of retirees here in Nevada, which is a really good thing. And it still makes it affordable. And again, with the reverse purchase, somebody comes here with $300,000. Okay. You know, I just sold my house in Texas or wherever, Iowa and Michigan, and I have $300,000 cash. I want to go buy an all cash house. Not going to happen really in this day and age. You know, $300,000 is not going to get you much. But if you're 70 years old, you can buy a $500,000 house, put your $300,000 into it, still not have a monthly mortgage payment, but you have a much nicer house.
Is there a bigger benefit with reverse mortgages with the interest rate going up the way it is?
Well, you know, the thing is about that, which I really think is a wonderful thing, is the nice thing is it doesn't really matter what the interest rate is doing because you're not making a monthly payment. In the traditional mortgage.
With a reverse mortgage.
Correct.
Right.
So when you're in the traditional forward world, I call it, and your interest rate starts at 5% and then it goes to 6%, you know, 2 months later, whatever, where our interest rates have been jumping all over the place, but so does your payment go up. So they tack on that interest, and now, you know, you're making a $1,300, and now 2 months later you have to make $1,500. You know, this is just an example. That could be a huge impact on somebody. Whereas in the reverse world, you're not making a payment anyways. So it doesn't matter if the interest rate jumps. It's not going to affect you until you're dead.
Is that what you call it, the reverse world?
Yes. Yes. I live in the reverse world.
That's great. All right, what's your contact information? I think you got some folks very intrigued here, Patty.
I do. I hope so. I hope so. My contact information is my direct line to my office is 775-954-0366. And then... Yeah, that's
954-0366. Okay. Awesome.
Okay.
All right. Anything else?
I don't think so. Give me a call. I can run numbers for you and see if it works. You might as well check out all options. Mm-hmm. It's either going to work or it's not going to work, or you're going to like it or not going to like it.
How could it not work, honestly?
You know, I think I've only had one person that it didn't work for, and that was, you know, it was a hard situation.
Okay. But, well, you know, I was going to take my house to heaven, but, you know, we'll talk.
Yeah. Okay, John.
Patty Wood, reverse mortgage specialist. Thanks for being on the show again.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
I'm John Potter. This is Live and Local. Our phone number 884-9910 on 99.1 FM and 92.3 FM Talk. Time for Fox News. FM News Talk time is 10:30.
There is no need for you to speak unless I ask you a question.
FM Talk. Radio. 99.1. KKFT. For Smith and Mason Valley. 92.3 FM Talk.
Oh, I'm John Potter, live and local every Saturday morning, 9 to noon. Hi, Heather's in Dejas.
Hi, good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Come all the way from Dayton.
Yep, Dayton, Nevada.
Is Dayton, Nevada growing?
It is growing.
Oh, don't tell me that.
It actually is. We're getting a lot of new construction out there. It's great.
Is it?
It is.
Now, I did hear you have... a new McDonald's, right?
We do.
You have the new McDonald's, and I think there was a dollar store that they...
We have a Dollar General, a Dollar Tree. We're getting another coffee shop, actually, right by McDonald's. Scooters is coming in there.
Okay. So. I'm for the coffee shop.
Yeah.
My gosh, I don't know. It's at least you retain that 1800s look. And your little downtown.
Yes, our Old Town Dayton.
Old Town Dayton.
Definitely, you know, a lot of history there.
Absolutely. Like, what's the history of Dayton? And by the way, are those old buildings being used right now?
Yeah, there's the Odeon Saloon. Just they remodeled one of the buildings and they're doing business there. There's a couple restaurants in that area. We have our community center there.
Well, that's great because a couple of years ago, I walked in there and I guess this was after the Great Recession, but that building was empty. And this building, gosh, what was it built? 1700s or 1800s? Classic old building. And now you have businesses filling that out in your old town, Dayton.
Yes.
But there's one huge event that takes place every year in Dayton. And that is Dayton Valley Days. And this is not going to be one of those cases where, well, I wish you had told me about Dayton Valley Days. I missed it. We're telling you now. It's coming up in, very soon, September 16th and 17th. Heather, what goes on at Dayton Valley Days?
Well, Dayton Valley Days, we have a bunch of vendors that come out. We have food vendors. We have an event like... We have a cornhole tournament.
That's so Dayton.
Yeah. We have live music. We're going to have Jacked Up Lake Tahoe is going to be there and Greg Austin. We do a raffle. There's a kids zone. We do a treasure hunt. And this year, the grand prize for that is a 55-inch TV.
Oh my gosh.
There's a lot of things that go on. One of the big things is on Saturday, we have a car show. Mm-hmm. This year, it's presented by Shelter Insurance.
A car show? Like antique cars lined up?
Yes.
Gotta have that, sure.
Definitely. There's trophies and prizes and swag bags. And.
Well, this event is huge because I remember going to it about, 15 years ago. There were cars, people parked on lawns and everything,
mm-hmm.
and made the little trek to the big event happening in Dayton.
Yes, and actually the Dayton Preservation Committee used to do the Dayton Valley Days, and this is our second year that the Dayton Area Chamber has taken over the event. And so, you know, we're really just trying to make sure that we create an event that's fun for everyone. We're still accepting vendor applications. We want to get those booths filled up.
And yes, that's why you're here, because you want people to join in on this event and be a vendor, or otherwise you are looking for people to help out this huge event to bring people to Dayton September 16th and 17th.
Yes, and it's such a great thing. The proceeds of the event, you know, they go towards other chamber events that we put on that are free to the community. And we have a scholarship program that the funds contribute to. So it's a great community thing.
How has Dayton Valley Days, and it's been on for decades, how has it changed? Bigger?
It's bigger. Yeah. I think just now, I don't know, there's more vendors, there's more to do. I know that we're trying to make it super family friendly. We want the kids to come out and enjoy themselves. Mm-hmm. There's a beer garden for the adults. We have a pet parade.
A
pet parade, yes, put on by the dog park.
Genius.
Yes, and then we have a little dance studio in town that they have a performance team that performs at the end of the pet parade.
Most of the people who live in Dayton, where do they work? They commute to where?
I think all over the place. There's, you know,
like Carson?
In Carson, Reno, out past, you know, going through Silver Springs, there's the big industrial area.
What's the population just about for Dayton? I'm guessing it's probably, what, 2,000?
Oh, no, I think it's around 14,000.
Oh, my gosh!
So,
Dayton Valley Days. And what are you going to be doing there?
I will be
just a chicken with its head cut off, right?
Maybe. Yeah. It's, you know, it's a big thing. We have a lot of people there. We're going to be just kind of directing traffic and making sure that everyone is where they're supposed to be. And
Do you have, okay, so you got the new McDonald's.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a Walmart?
We do not have a Walmart.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that'll happen, right?
It probably will eventually. So I think right now people are okay with having, you know, we have a Smith's, that the grocery store, we have a grocery outlet.
Oh, that's right. You do.
We do. And so it still has a little bit of that small town feel, which is nice.
Heather, favorite restaurant in Dayton? Your personal.
I would say Jay's Bistro.
Jay's Bistro. Okay.
Yes. And I also really want to go. I didn't even realize this until I started working at the chamber, but I've been out to the Dayton Valley Golf Course a couple of times, and it's really nice. They have a really nice lounge and restaurant area. So,
yeah, now I want to move there. Look what you're doing.
It's a great place.
Look what you're doing. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Dayton Valley Days. Right now, they need vendors. You're talking about small food trucks or what to come out?
Food trucks. We have crafters. People who have their own small businesses like Scentsy and that type of thing can have a booth. We have nonprofits that set up booths. So, and really anything you want to present to the community.
And even though it's free admission, you make a little bit of money on this, right? And you give it to what?
We do. That's what we put into the other community events that we offer. We have a veterans dinner that we do. We have our small town Christmas that we do, where we light up our Christmas tree and we have a Santa and
small
cookies
town
and
Christmas.
Hot chocolate.
Cookies, so. Hot chocolate, courier, and I'm picturing the scene. Wonderful. Dayton Valley Days, folks. Put it on your calendars, September 16th and September 17th. That's a Saturday and Sunday coming up soon. Heather Zendejas and Dayton Chamber of Commerce, and Heather wants you to be a vendor at this huge event. What do you estimate how many people come to Dayton Valley Days to interest the vendors out there?
I want to say last year they had 3,600, and I don't remember exactly.
3,600 vendors?
Yeah, like I said, this is my first year as the director. The previous director, Helene Morris, she did such an awesome job kind of pulling it all off last year. So,
cool. All right. Well, Heather, how can they contact you to be a vendor?
So if you want to be a vendor, or if you want to sign up for the car show, or even if you want to sponsor, you can contact me through email at director@DaytonNV.com, or you can call the office 775-246-7909. You can also go to the website www.DaytonValleyDays.com and get information there.
See, you're old school. You still do the www.
I do.
I do that too. I do it too. Don't look at me like that. All right, Heather. Pleasure talking to you. Let's have you back to talk about Dayton Valley Days coming up September 16th and 17th. Let's go to Jay's Bistro.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Heather. All right, folks, we're going to be talking cats and, well, cats. We're talking cats next. One of my favorite topics. Next, I'm John Potter. This is 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. FM News Talk time is 10:45.
Younger. Smarter. Better. FM Talk, KKFT, FM 99.1 is FM Talk. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk, KKFT.
Hi, friends. John Potter here. You know, we have quite a few feral cats in town. I love them. I feed them. I have a regular who comes by our backyard, like the neighborhood feral, for a few Temptations treats, and then he or she walks off and heads to the next yard. About every two or three nights, I even have shelters for them in the winter. I love cats. And on the phone is Linda with Kathmandu Cat Rescue. Hi, Linda.
Hi, John. How you doing?
Do we have too many ferals?
Oh, there's a lot of them out there, and there's more all the time. You know, they breed like bunnies.
It's a weird thing about feral cats. I think, and this is one of my skewed theories, I think the world changed dramatically when they introduced the leash laws. You know, when I was young, long time ago, dogs and cats were allowed to run loose, more or less. And after dinner, you know, we let our cat out to prowl around the dark. And before my parents went up to bed, they opened the front door and there was Stripey, ready for a snack and a bed too. It was a different world with the loose pets, but things have changed. Now, Kathmandu in Carson City rescues cats. Why do we have so many cats that need rescuing, Linda?
Well, you know, one of the biggest problems right now is the housing crisis. You know, the lack of rentals that are pet friendly. If you rent, it's really, really, really hard to find any place that will let you have a pet. And so a lot of cats have been surrendered because their people are moving and they can't find a place that will let them have pets. And then it's also really reduced the adoption rates because if you rent, once again, you can't have a pet. So it's really created a big problem with the adoptable cats. Adoptions have just dropped by, at least half or more from a couple of years ago.
Oh, the rent. There are so many heartbreaking posts on Facebook and Nextdoor and even Reddit. People looking to find a home for their pet. The pet is a part of the family. I just don't see how you can do it, but it's a financial necessity now because they can't afford it with the rent up.
You know, I mean, so many people, and even if you can afford it, you still can't find a place that'll let you have them. You know, we have so many people that they're just in tears, you know, because it's a valued family member, but it's, do we live in the car or do we rehome the animal? And, you know, all of the shelters are full. You know, we're full. Well, we're not open right at the moment, but, you know, even still, we're over capacity. And I think the others are the same way. So, you know, it's, the problem is there's no place for them to go either. So it's a huge problem right now, John.
Linda, what brought you to do this with Kathmandu, this affinity for cats? How do they rate in your life and why? What happened as you were growing up?
Well, you know, I've always loved animals, and I've always done, you know, rescued just on a personal basis, little stray cats in the neighborhood, taking them in and finding them homes and whatnot. But the big thing for me with Kathmandu was after my husband died. He died in 2012, and we had a little trailer building business. And so when he died, the business went away because it was a mom and pop, and without pop, there was no business. And so I went back to college, and I was feeding a little stray cat across the street. And the house that he was living under was bought by a new company, and they were going to close off his access under the house, and they were going to trap him and take him to, it was at the time, Carson Animal Services, which had a very high euthanasia rate, and he would have been euthanized. And so I started calling around trying to find some help for him. And I discovered that there were very, 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 very few resources for cats in this area. There's more for dogs, but there was next to nothing for cats. And, you know, John, I kept saying, you know, somebody needs to do something. Somebody needs to do something. And one morning I just woke up and I went, you know what? I'm somebody and I'm going to do something. And I don't care. I've never done large scale rescue. I've never run a nonprofit, but it needs to be done and I'm going to do it. And so I, you know, cashed in Kurt's pension and I sold almost everything I had and rented this broken down, filthy, decrepit building here on Brown Street and started Kathmandu.
God bless you, Linda. You know, it's a funny thing about cats, and people who are not cat people will never understand. They think that all cats are the same. I'll tell you what, my wife and I, we have three cats. They are all incredibly different. We have a cat that is kind of like not a whole lot of fun to be around. we have a little Molly who is very affectionate, looks you straight in the eye, and likes to bite. I'm sure that's a way of, because they don't have hands, to have contact with you in a friendly way. And we have Casper, who's more like a squirrel, doesn't look you in the eye, but just loves to have fun and run around. So what cats do you have personally? I imagine you have a bunch out there, but I mean, to your own, and what are they like?
Well, you know, it's interesting with cats. They're like people. You know, they all have their very own, very distinct personality. You know, here at Kathmandu, we have about 85 cats right now, and no two of them have the same personality. You know, they are just like people. They are all very much unique individuals. I have four personal cats of my own that live with me in my little 500-square-foot rental duplex. And they are all completely different cats from each other.
I wonder what they think of the other 85 cats where you are.
Well, you know, they've gotten used to the smell of it, and they just kind of ignore it. They just take it for granted. Okay, mom's going to come home smelling like cats, you know?
So you reopened. I assume this is a COVID thing, that you were closed. When did you reopen?
Well, no, we stayed open all through COVID.
COVID
didn't stop us. No, COVID didn't slow us down at all. We put on masks and we did appointments and we made accommodations as we had to. But no, COVID didn't slow us down.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was just going to say what has happened here. We've been closed since June 19th, and we actually are not open again yet. We had to postpone it, our reopening, until August 18th. What happened was our old building finally caught up with us. when I started the place almost 10 years ago, you know, I did it on a real shoestring, and so the place was kind of falling apart. And I just sort of patched it together and did the best I could at the time. And through the years, you know, we've kind of patched stuff up and we fixed it on the fly and we've covered it up and we've made it do. And it just finally got to the point where the floors were, you know, the concrete floors were just kind of crumbling and all of the vinyl was peeling up. And the paint on the walls, you know, it was.
Sure.
We'd actually scrubbed the paint off the walls, and there was just a bunch of issues that needed to be addressed.
Oh my gosh! You're such a godsend for cats, and people can adopt from you.
Oh, absolutely. You know, not right now. Well, we might start doing some limited adoptions. You know, we are, like I said, we're still closed till August 18th. We're trying desperately.
August 18th. Okay.
To get things finished up here, you know.
And your website is catmandoocc.org.
Yep.
catmandoocc.org. And you need things from people. What do you need?
Well, you know, right at this moment for the next couple of weeks, I really need some skilled help. You know, we've had some great volunteers and we've gotten all of the painting done and we've gotten a lot of the repairs done and stuff, but we're down to the floors.
Okay. We got a break for Fox News, but God bless you, Linda. Kathmandu, folks. Once again, that's kathmandoocc.org. Hope you get the help you rightly so deserve for the cats. All right. I gotta go. Sorry about that, Linda. Good luck.